Hey everyone, Alan here, creator and host of Script to Screen. I've always been a fan of podcasts, and when I was still in college, I always wanted to host one, but it wasn't that simple back then. Nowadays, the options are endless, but there's only one that can help you and your podcast reach listeners and grow with your vision. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Anchor has been Script to Screen's home since I first started the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Not only is it simple for uploading episodes, but fans can also reach out to us by sending voice messages and be featured on the show. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. Send me a link when you're done. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
And now, a brand new episode of Script to Screen, live on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM, made to be heard.
Hello and welcome to a brand new, upgraded, evolved episode of Script to Screen here on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM. I'm your host, Alan Mahana. No, I have not been upgraded, sadly enough. But the show has. It's a brand new version, a brand new direction, a brand new edition. Brand new, I don't know, iOS version of Script to Screen. This is the thing. I've been kind of teasing this for a while. I've been wanting this show to become something new. I wanted it to grow, to evolve, as I've said before, and to be taken into a new direction, a direction that would allow me as a host, would allow me as a film lover, a film critic, a student of the industry, to not just be talking to people who are involved in the industry, not just talking to those without a voice, like the filmmakers that have been here before, the producers, the actors, et cetera, et cetera. What I wanted this show to become is to also become a platform for me to discuss matters that concern the industry, topics that concern the industry. Actually talk about the movies that I've been seeing and have full-on discussions about these films or about these topics or et cetera, newsworthy stories. But I realized that I couldn't do it alone. I realized that to have these kinds of conversations, I needed to have a co-pilot. I needed to have someone to help me take this Millennium Falcon of a show to a whole new level, to punch it, if you will, to take it into, I don't know, hyperspace. I thought to myself, who could I bring into the show? Who could be this co-pilot? And while it only seemed natural, it only seemed obvious, it was staring me right in the face, a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, he's becoming a very good friend of mine, the solo to my Chewy, if you will. Please help me in joining, or join me in welcoming, actually, the one and only Han Solo.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello to all the screeners out there.
Yes.
I'm pretty pumped and excited about this to talk about films and TV series and things that matter to both of us.
Yes, exactly. So I think we've both been very excited to have this day come to actually launch this new evolved version of Script to Screen.
Definitely. And I think we're going to go into hyperspace, as you said, go where no man has gone before.
Okay, now we're just merging genres here, merging franchises.
Why not? Why not? It'd be interesting crossover between those two. But anyway, we'll talk about different things later.
I would love a conversation between Yoda and Spock. That's all I'm saying.
Who would win? I mean,
I don't know. There'll be like a challenge of the minds there. But no, don't worry for all you listeners out there. This isn't going to be just a version of Script to Screen that is just talking Star Trek or Star Wars or just random franchises. We will be talking about everything.
Yeah.
And as you will see in this episode, we will have a bunch of different topics to talk about. But on the other hand, we haven't lost sight of, or I haven't lost sight of, Han Solo is on board with this. I haven't lost sight of the preciousness that this show was for these guests that were coming on the show. But we want to include them in more than just talking about what they do for a living or all that stuff. We want to include them in these conversations that we're having. Right?
Yeah, we want to hear their feedback, their point of view.
Exactly.
What input they have in topics, everyday topics movie fans have. It's a big industry in Lebanon.
Right,
And there's so much going on and so many hidden talents and so many hidden gems and things. And I think integrating these people into a conversation, hearing what they have to say is very interesting. And also seeing what they're doing.
Exactly.
So, yep.
Exactly. So we haven't lost sight of that. This is kind of what I wanted to say. We haven't lost sight of what the show was. Just because something is evolving, it doesn't mean that it's fully going to change. AKA Last Jedi haters. Just because it's evolving doesn't mean that it's not what it used to be. It's just growing. But this is essentially what the show is going to be like. Hadi's going to be joining me every week as my co-pilot. As I said, the Solo to my Chewie, as my co-pilot, it's going to be, fun, interesting. We have so many plans already brewing, for this and future seasons of Script to Screen, live events, giveaways,
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be fun. And yes, if you noticed earlier, when Hadi started talking, he called you guys screeners. And this is something I've been wanting to introduce. And this is the perfect way to introduce it. For all of you, our fans out there, we want to make you feel special for being a part of this this brand, this show, this lifestyle. I don't know what to call it. But we want you to feel part of our community and part of our crew.
Yeah, part of the team, the family.
It. Right, the family, the team, the crew. So we're going to dub you screeners. It's relevant for the show because screeners are what producers send to critics and the Academy members during Oscar season. They send them movies on DVDs, but those DVDs are called screeners because they're not made to be reproduced or anything like that. So you're not made to be reproduced either. You're all unique to us. You're all very special to us. And so we wanted to give you a name. And so screeners became the perfect fit, I think, right?
Yep. It's a fitting name.
It's a very fitting name.
For everyone listening.
So before we move forward in this episode, we've kind of babbled a lot. Why don't you... As my co-host now, because this is normally what used to happen in my regular shows.
All right.
My guests would give the listeners, the screeners, their CV. You would talk about yourself, give us a little background, how you got into this. So for the first and only time that you will ever do this, give us the brief as to who you are.
All right. So my name is Hadi Shahlawi, but I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Hence, Han Solo.
And hence the t-shirt he's wearing for all you guys watching.
It's a Princess Leia t-shirt.
It's a Princess Leia t-shirt and proud.
Yeah, very proud. She is the true Disney princess.
She
is. I think we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah. We will.
I've been a movie fan ever since I was a kid. I love movies. I adore them. I watch a lot of movies. In university, I studied marketing and I studied theater, which also helped me... learn more about movie making because you have such courses in the program. I review movies on my personal Instagram account. I came up with a very small concept called Reviewed in 60 Seconds, which is a straightforward review, 60 seconds, my opinion about a new movie coming out, and also potentially old movies. I love all genres of movies. Mm-hmm. It's not because my name is Han Solo that I'm just a Star Wars
fanatic. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can love a franchise yep. and be obsessed with a franchise, but not be the, you know, the center of your universe, exactly. if you will.
And cinema is so wide and huge and from different countries mm-hmm. and movies from different eras and periods. It's massive and it's beautiful. Everything, every movie has something special to offer. And the whole point of this is to create conversation, to make people want to go watch movies, to tell me, right. Hadi, I disagree with you. I actually like this movie. 1, 2, 3, that's why. And create conversation because I think this is what's really missing here. Talking about movies
yes,
openly.
Yes.
And listening to feedback, accepting feedback.
And feeling okay if you disagree with yeah. something. Just because you disagree with an opinion, it doesn't mean that the other person is wrong or that you're right, or it's just a difference of opinion.
Exactly.
And you know, movies were made for the people, you know, by the people, for the people. You know, because when the Lumiere brothers first started making movies, they were literally screening them at cafes. It wasn't an elitist art. And somehow with the current culture, with social media and the franchises, you know, whether it be Star Wars or the MCU or the DCEU or whatever, people are becoming very, you know, the fan base is becoming very toxic. If you disagree with them, you're somehow betraying the franchise. But that's not it, guys. Like, that's not what it's about. But cinema belongs to everybody. And not everybody is going to like the same thing, you know?
Yeah, there are many movies I love, my friends hate. Mm-hmm. There's very critically acclaimed bad movies that I enjoy.
Yeah,
why,
right.
Why not? Why yeah. not? I mean, we all have our guilty pleasures.
Of course.
So listening to feedback, I think, is important. Having
very
a conversation
important.
About movies and about other topics which are linked to movies, because it's a vehicle today to bring other larger
right.
topics and make it part of the bigger conversation, basically.
Right, right.
So I'm not going to bore everyone much longer with about me stuff. That's me in a nutshell.
Okay.
Hopefully throughout the season, people will get to know me a bit more.
Yes. So without further ado, we told you guys that we're going to be introducing a very amazing guest. She is our third musketeer. She is such a people person.
Yeah.
Question
extremely.
Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is the people person of a new, well, for Lebanon, it's kind of new, a company called Me & Co. But it's not so new around the world. Wow, not global, but, you know, she'll explain. So without much further ado, here is, join me in welcoming Sandra H.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi,
kinda
Hattie.
Like,
hey, Sandra.
Kind of like Ellen. Madonna, just Sandra H.
Like Cher.
Look, when you're born and raised in Australia, you kind of get PTSD when people try to pronounce your last name, so you kind of need to shorten it a bit.
It's much catchier.
It is.
It's you know, super catchy.
Sandra H.
You can
stand
for anything.
H, yeah.
Aussie H.
The H.
H&M.
So, Sandra, we brought you on the show for many reasons today. One, because you're just dope.
Thank you.
Two, because of this company that you are now kind of launching in yep. Lebanon or bringing to the Lebanese.
Bringing to Beirut,
yeah. Yeah, you're bringing it to Beirut. And it's called Me & Co.
Me & Co, yeah. So the name itself stands for Me and Others. Just for you guys. So it's a play on words, pretty much. It's how you are and how you function, the society you're in. And,
okay.
You know, the people around you.
So, what is it?
Pretty much what it is it's I like to call it the future of talent collaboration and mentoring.
The future of
talent collaboration.
Talent collaboration and mentoring. Wow,
mentoring,
okay,
yeah.
that's pretty cool.
Yoda-ish.
Yeah, it's very Yoda-ish, isn't it?
So it's pretty much like what you guys did. Collaborated right
yeah.
now.
Yes.
That's kind of like what we do.
Collaborating power.
Except it works on a two-phase. So we
okay.
have the first part, which is we help brands and agencies find everyday people to collaborate with. Such as influencers and talents for projects, activations, and, you know,
okay.
Et cetera, events. And the second phase is where we take talent and open doors for them internationally.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt that that was really important for Beirut because, you know, a lot of people have skills and passion, but they sometimes might lack the platform to take it internationally. And, you know, we want to open doors for them and we want to expose them talent-wise, nothing else, and mentor and nurture their skills and creativity to, you know, reach their full potential.
That's really cool. Yeah. You know, you and I share something, which is like, you know, we were both, well, your entire life, you basically were raised in Australia.
Melbourne, yeah.
Melbourne.
Don't say Sydney, please.
No, I won't. And I grew up, you know, half of my life, I spent it between Lebanon, you know, being born and raised here until I was 13 and then living 13 years in the US. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, it's like in my byline, you know, wanting to be a bridge between East and West. And
exactly.
Me and Co's doing exactly that. Yeah. And it's, you know, kind of exposing Lebanese talent to outside, but indirectly you're also bringing the attention to Lebanese
talent that we have here because, sorry, continue.
No, you.
Because, you know, we started in Melbourne and only last year we went to Berlin. So we started collaborating there. And, you know, growing up Lebanese, you always have this passion where you see what's happening in the country, but you don't see it internationally.
Mm.
And I've always wanted to bridge the gap between, you know, what happens in the country here to what's happening, you know, in Australia, because there's a big Lebanese community there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in Brazil, Mexico, you know, there's Lebanese everywhere. But we're not really connecting. There's no connection happening.
True.
So the reason that I'm very invested in Beirut's launch is because there's that extra added layer where it's kind of personal. You know, I want people to get out there. I want them to see the real Lebanese talent. I want them to see the real Lebanon. And
So is this like a physical location place or is it more cyber or how does it work?
Well, right now we're actually launching a pre-site. It all works online pretty much. We will have an office in Beirut though. So this is the only
fancy
place where there will be an office. Yes. Because, you know, people here love Ahwe and the...
Yes, yes. The formalistic,
face-to-face.
The formalistic face-to-face.
Three kisses, hi.
Yeah.
You got to do that. So pretty much what I would say is to, you know, ask everyone, brands, agencies, and talent out there to just check out our pre-launch site for Beirut, drop in their details, and we will contact them. So the website is www.miko.digital.
So Miko is spelled...
M-I-C-O.
MICO.digital.
Digital.
Yes.
D-I-G-I.
So again, anybody who's listening out there, filmmakers, singers, writers, graphic designers,
tattoo artists,
yes. I mean, anything out there, you know, hop on to MICO.digital.
Even if you know how to cook, just jump on and we will work.
Find you people to cook for.
Yes. Pretty much.
I had a quick question before, Hattie, if you have anything else to add.
Yep.
You know, I think the office, you know, having a physical space isn't, I mean, yeah, we kind of joked about it being, you know, for the formalistic purposes and all that. But I think also it's a way for you, you know, you and your team to meet the talent personally.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anybody can fake their talent online. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
this is kind of, there'll be like this kind of almost checks and balances kind of thing.
Well, the thing is, in Melbourne and Berlin, it works differently.
Mm-hmm.
It over there, of course, you know, you do the screening, you do meet with the talent and all. But in Beirut, like I said, this is the city where we're putting in way more of a personal
touch
effort, into it because we're adding the extra layer of wanting to help them one on one with the mentoring.
So overseas, we don't really
do the mentoring. It's just the collaboration.
Okay.
In Beirut is the only place where we mentor them and we, you know, work with them on their creativity, how to stay fresh. Make sure their content doesn't get stale.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, especially nowadays in a time where you have influencers and people online in the digital age, I think this is a very interesting project. And again, to go back to what I said earlier in the show, locally in Lebanon, we have a lot of talent.
So much talent.
So much talent.
And so few people know of some of these people.
Yeah.
So I think you being the bridge, if you want, between the talent and the brands and creating collabs and coming up with crazy and fun ideas and unique ones.
Yeah.
I think it's...
it'll be fun. It's exciting.
It'll be fun.
It's like a hub.
Yeah.
You know, she's almost creating a hub of, you know, talented people.
Ideally, that's the goal.
Because a lot of times people have a talent and don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Amen. What's the next step? Yeah. So this facilitates the whole process.
It's because, you know, the Lebanon itself, the platforms aren't really there for them either, you know.
Yeah.
Which exactly. is kind of sad, but you know.
You know, this is something I've constantly said in earlier seasons of the show, is that we have so much talent in this country. What we lack is the guidance. What we lack is the blueprint and the map and the, you know, what should I do next? And where do I go from here?
Exactly.
And where do I go from here should never, ever, in my opinion, be move out of the country.
No,
because we need you here.
Exactly.
You know, we need the talented people here. We need the people that are passionate about the work that they do, regardless of what it is. Again, this is why we're using the word talent and not specifically artists or anything like that, because it encompasses everybody. And yours will be the place to kind of almost get
flourish.
In touch. Yeah, get in touch with your oneness and figure out where to allow your talent to grow.
Yeah, well, that is the goal. And, you know, exactly, you touched on something that was very important about a lot of Lebanese are leaving to get opportunities. Well, we want it to be the other way around. We want people to come to Lebanon.
For opportunity.
For opportunities.
Nice.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, that was touching.
No, yeah, it was very. No, I mean,
it is.
I mean, I just. I needed tissue. I think.
Oh my god.
Don't see no, I mean that it's awesome. It's really awesome. The one thing came again, Star Wars reference, but it was almost like me and Co. Do or do not. There is no try. Okay. Just go to do something. Go to make something. You know, something better. Do better for yourself. Get in touch with your talent. Believe in your talent.
And go for it.
Punch it.
Because people do have the tendency sometimes of being a bit lazy and using the excuse of, I don't know what to do next. Well, now you know what to do next.
Yep.
We'll figure it out for you.
They'll plan it.
We'll help you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, you figuring it out for them is continuing the laziness field. You know.
Well, that's one of the things. We never actually take over. We just talk them into what they should do.
Guide them. Yep. Be their senseis. You know,
be their Jedi masters.
Be their Yodas.
Yeah.
Be their Yodas.
Obi-Wans.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Just don't be their Darth Sidiouses. Because that would, you know.
No.
Let's not take them to the dark side. Would not be good. Well, I mean, that sounds exciting.
Thank you.
Has the website officially launched yet?
Yes, it has.
Okay, so it has launched. Yeah. Okay.
Yesterday, actually. So,
ooh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Is there going to be like a launch party?
We will. So eventually what will happen is when the actual site and the office is coming up, we will have an event. And
awesome.
Everyone on the database and everyone we know will be invited. And
well, I guess we should sign up on the database.
Yeah, we should sign up on the database.
I'm not going to miss a cool party and meeting.
Well, yeah.
And meeting all those awesome
and meeting
people.
Talented people.
Meeting all those awesome people.
Yes,
because,
exactly.
Wow.
Because I'm sure it's going to be flooded.
Yeah.
It will be flooded.
With amazing, smart, talented Lebanese folk.
Yep. You know, tell your friends, tell your family.
Yeah.
Tell everyone about
it. Tell your neighbors.
Tell everyone
go
about
down,
it.
Knock on the door.
Extra, guys, extra. Yeah, hear all about it. Miko, me and Co. has come to Beirut. So, okay. So now this segment, this is new for Script to Screen because we each, the way this is going to go. So this is for all you guys listening out there. The way this is going to go now from now on is that if we have a guest, the first segment of the show will be the guest. And then after the guest, Hadi and I will each have an article to kind of, or a news story to kind of discuss. If it happens that Hadi and I went to a film premiere that we felt like we wanted to kind of talk about the movie, we could do that. But most of the time it's going to be news stories regarding film or television. And then we're going to talk about them briefly and then just give our thoughts and opinions on the storylines. So, and then it's going to be the same for the following segment before we end the show. So, if we don't have a guest, it'll be around, what is it? Three articles each,
approximately.
Or three news stories each, approximately, or a movie and then two articles, or a guest and two articles. And then that's basically it. That's the breakdown.
Yeah. A lot of math. But
that's the lowdown. Yeah. It's a lot of numbers. For a Saturday afternoon.
I guess two articles.
What, minus, finest, space-time continuum. Mm. So you brought up a very interesting news story, and this has kind of been in the news sphere of Hollywood and the movie industry for a while, but Khan kind of took a big stand this year, didn't they?
Yep. Basically, the breakdown is at the Cannes Film Festival, movies coming from Netflix were not allowed to participate in the competition unless the movie was played in a French theater. And it raises the question again of whether movies made by Netflix should be contenders.
Or any film that streams before it premieres in a movie theater. Is that still cinema? Yeah, does it still count as cinema?
Should it compete at the Academy Awards,
right,
at the BAFTAs, at the César, at any kind of high-level movie event?
Mm-hmm.
And I think today these people are creating excellent content. I mean, they have some hits and misses, but I guess that's a problem with every studio.
Yeah.
And I think times are changing and things are evolving. And
so, are you with Khan's decision? Or are you?
Actually, I'm not. I'm not. No,
you're against it.
I disagree because
interesting. Okay.
Because, for example, this year you're going to have a movie released by Netflix, directed by Scorsese, and it has everyone in it.
Yeah, I mean, Pacino, everyone and their mother is in this movie.
Joe Pesci's back.
Joe Pesci, Pacino, De Niro,
I don't know why I went. But anyway, so I think that could be a quality movie, and it's being produced and directed
by the Scorsese.
Yeah, and it's a normal process. The only difference is that today this screens online and the other screens in a movie theater. So what? What's for me? I don't see.
Okay.
The big problem in that.
Okay.
I mean, movies are to be enjoyed, whether you enjoy them in the comfort of your home or you enjoy them in a movie theater. Sure, there are different experiences.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you want to look at this piece of art and judge it, you judge it as this piece of art, not where it's projected or where it's being played.
Your thoughts, Miss H?
Oh, I completely agree with him.
You agree?
I agree. I think, you know, a lot of, because my background's in advertising, and there was a big issue when from traditional advertising, everything was going digital. So from traditional to going digital, a lot of agencies, you know, they kind of fell behind and they didn't keep up with the time. So what you're saying is perfectly right. I mean, you don't need to go to a cinema now to watch a movie. You can just watch it on Netflix at home in the comfort of your PJs.
Yeah, but alone though.
You can invite friends.
You can invite people.
Yeah, but it's not the experience. So like I'm one of these people that's very much stuck in the middle of this because I do realize that Netflix is creating superb content, and kind of the addition to your story to your news story, you know, this idea, this topic that you picked, is Ridley Scott now saying that, you know, television is where it's at, you know, with Netflix and stuff like this. So a lot of us are kind of you know, what do you call it? Theorizing or hypothesizing that there's going to be a potential shift in Ridley Scott and with him shifting towards television in the directorial position, because he did recently help produce the new AMC show. I don't know if you heard about it, The Terror. I saw episode one. I mean, whoa.
That's what I haven't seen, but I did read about
the,
it.
The caliber, the quality of that show is insane. But for him, you know, with things like Netflix and Hulu and you know, what AMC is doing and, you know, AMC has a bunch of really good shows. The Sun, starring Pierce Brosnan, Into the Badlands. If you haven't seen that, I mean, I love that show. So there's a lot of really good cinematic, for the lack of a better term, television content. But in a way, I almost feel like this is it's this promotion of introvertedness and individuality, or like not individuality, but like this one man experience or like alone experience.
But that's like online shopping.
Yeah, but again, I'm against that. You know, like I don't like where, you know, even for a person who is hugely into social media, I don't like where it's taking us, because I almost feel like it is putting you in your own bubble, you know, in the comfort of your home, and you don't have to actually go and sit next to someone who is annoying and have to deal with the annoying person and just see if the film is powerful enough to just take you and not have to deal with the annoying person or just ignore or filter out the annoying person. There's just a magic, or people on their phones. It's just the magic of a movie theater. I think for me, you know, the movie theater is like a holy place, you know,
but don't you think you're like a kind of bringing two things, which is the experience and the movie itself. I know they merge at some point, but if you want to judge a piece of a movie, a film, which is a piece of art for me, why not have it at an award session? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm not asking the question.
Yeah, though. No, I mean, I don't agree with what Khan is doing. I don't agree with its exclusion, but I think there needs to be discussion as to whether or not it counts as cinema.
More on an experience,
right.
I think. You're talking about, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. I think it is an interesting conversation because of what Khan did. It opens up this conversation as to whether or not these movies are cinema, or are they just movies? If that makes sense in a weird way.
I do get it.
Like, is it a telefilm or is it a cinema film? A telefilm being a film made for TV.
I think it's a genre of its own. It's made for not just TV, for the budgets that are being put.
Yeah, I mean, the budgets that are being put are huge. I mean, like Netflix, I think Netflix is, it just... What movie franchise is it producing? And it's going to be a movie that's even more expensive than Scorsese. The movie is just, I've blanked on the film, but they're going to be doing another film. And the budget is going to be like way more than even The Irishman. Mm. So I don't know. I mean, for me, this is weird push and pull. Like, I want it to be more global, and because I realize how much opportunity that Netflix is giving to independent filmmakers and really good content. But at the same time, I fear for the loss of the movie theater experience.
I don't think that'll ever go away.
But box office numbers are down, and you know this.
Maybe they should put down the prices for popcorn.
But see, no. But this is the thing, is that because there is a less number of people that are going to the movie theater, for a movie theater to sustain itself, the prices are going to get more expensive.
Makes sense. But that's the one of the issues as well. So I can just sit at home with my, you know, bag of chips and watch Netflix.
So much for being a people person.
I'm being a realist.
She can Netflix and chips.
She can Netflix and chips. Yeah, Netflix and chips.
That's a new one.
I like that.
I like that too, actually. Yeah. Netflix and chips, yeah.
No, but I mean, I don't know. Movies have always evolved and changed.
Yeah, that's very true.
Movies aren't what they were 20 years ago, 40 years ago, and so on. And everyone is going online. Disney is launching their own online platform. A couple of years.
A live action Star Wars show.
Yes. So I still think that, by the way, how many times have we been to a movie? And like you said, like, have annoying people.
Yeah. I get you. And I'm one of these people that is really annoyed by that. I hate people. I mean, I don't know you from your mother, but I hate you. I literally, the moment you sit in a movie theater and open your, you know, 12-inch tablet phone and burn out my retina, I officially abhor your existence. Or, you know, the infamous, hello, yes, I'm in the movie theater. You know, I don't understand that either.
Or that lady who came with her two kids to watch A Quiet Place. Wow, that was very fascinating. 2 8-year-olds watching a horror movie and asking their mother 12 million questions, and they're going to crap themselves.
Why would you take children to go see it? Okay. Yep. You know what? Never mind. On that note, I'm for Netflix and whatever Netflix is doing.
Netflix and chips.
Yeah. Netflix and chips. I like it. Yeah. I don't even know if we got to where we wanted to go with this topic, but it was a cool conversation.
It was nice. It snowballed into something
else. A completely different conversation. Speaking of Netflix, actually, did you end up seeing Annihilation?
No, not yet.
I want to see it too, because I loved Alex Garner's Ex Machina.
I think we should do that. And then
let's do that together. Yeah.
And talk about it maybe.
Sure.
Because such a good movie went unnoticed in Lebanon.
Yeah, it did.
Yep. So
it did. I actually went unnoticed in Perth as well.
Yes.
Oh, Perth.
Yeah.
A lot of things go unnoticed there.
Hey now. Okay. My good mates from Breaking Banter are from Perth. Let's not hate on Perth. But they were very disappointed that the movie didn't get a theatrical release, because they were saying that the visuals in the film, and again, this is another thing, is like the visuals in the film were so huge and so worthy of being seen on a huge screen. And you can't get a movie theater size screen or an IMAX screen in your home.
they might have a TV in a few years that big because they keep on growing and growing. No, but I totally do understand your point.
You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine at one point seeing Star Wars Episode 13 on your television because they're going to release it on Netflix and not in the movie theater?
But does it need to be this or that?
What do you mean?
I mean, eventually, I mean, I don't know. I'm speaking in like a dystopian future where movie theaters don't exist and you're Ready Player Oneing this, you know, like.
That's like when they, you know, they shut down a couple of bookstores and stuff because everyone was going to Kindle.
Yeah. And like Walden Books. There used to be a Walden Books in America and it doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, I don't think movie theaters are going to stop existing.
But they're going to be like a prestige thing then. You know, like, just, you know, instead of going to the opera, we'll go to the movie theater. And we'll dress up in a gown and a tuxedo.
Let's watch Pretty Women.
Pretty Women with some, you know, diamond and popcorn.
Oh, my God. And chips.
And chips.
I mean, I don't know. I still think that vis-a-vis the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely go to a movie, watch it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make something streamed exclusively on any online platform. Makes it less of a fine work of art, fine movie.
Yeah, I get you. So, yeah. I get you. Without wasting too much time, because again, we're still trying to get used to the rhythm of how this works. We're running a little tight on time here, but we want to make sure that we tackle the other two things that we wanted to talk about real quick. So I'm going to jump in and go ahead because my story isn't that huge just yet because it's still very speculative and rumor-based. But apparently Disney is developing an animated Dragon Empire film. And this is going to be, as far as we know right now, it's going to be original content. So it's not based on any established IP yet. So it's not based on a book or anything like that. But it is a dragon kind of, you know, fantasy-esque kind of movie. And I believe this is because the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy, their final film is coming out later this year, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Yep.
I'm a big How to Train Your Dragon fan.
I love the
series, the movies. I have yet to watch the series. Apparently the Netflix series is really good too. Yep. And we're back to Netflix. Okay. So Disney was working on a Jack and the Beanstalk movie called Gigantic. It was going to be from the giant's perspective, which is an interesting twist. But that's been scrapped, completely scrapped. Now the rumor is that they're trying to develop this Dragon Empire movie, and supposedly it's supposed to be released in November of 2020. Not much is known about it, aside from the fact that this is going to be a film with another young heroine. So we're going back to, you know, again, another female protagonist. Disney's doing that everywhere, I think. You know, Star Wars and now, animated movies, they've been known to do this before, though. So her name is supposed to be John Nin, and she's joined by on her quest by Bolin, and he's supposed to be a 900-year-old comic relief mentor to her. You know, and he's supposed, actually, no, his name is supposed to be around something like Katsu or something. So I feel like it's going to be maybe like a Chinese Japanese take on dragons, possibly, from the names. I'm not 100% sure. But again, they're kind of going forward with this, non-romantic male and female, character setup, which we've kind of been seeing that it's kind of becoming like Disney's new storytelling tactic versus their older stuff, which used to have a more romantic touch to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A la Beauty and the Beast or...
Aladdin. Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Bambi, you know, Lion King.
Little Mermaid
had it. She speaks. but, you know, I mean, I'm not... I kind of miss the romantic stories personally. I like the Disney romantic stories. I don't, you know, fairy tales, I don't know. It was kind of part of the package. And now I almost feel like this is sort of forced. Like, oh, look, we're not making a romantic love story. You know, for me, as long as if the story dictates it, then why avoid it? You know what I mean? Like, let's not do it and just say, look, we're not, you know, they're friends.
I mean, I'm not against or for it. I mean, I don't mind.
Yeah.
As long as there's a cool dynamics, whether they're promoting love between two characters or friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, why not if it works on the story?
Now, but again, it goes back to the story. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know?
As you said, the story, not much is known about it. Who knows? Maybe it'll evolve and there will be a kind of love story. So
for all we know, she could fall in love with the dragon.
Maybe. Maybe they're going to have that kind of chemistry together.
That'll
who knows?
Hot.
Yeah. Who knows? But I am, what excites me about this storyline is the idea that Disney's going back to a, you know, fantasy.
Yeah.
They're going back to kind of, you know, these, you know, the Fantasias and the Sleeping Beauties. And, you know, I like that they're going back to this because for a while they were kind of stepping away from the fairy tales. And recently they've kind of come back to, you know, you had Frozen. I would even argue that Moana is somewhat of a fairy tale because of what, you know, her journey and what she goes through. But then, you know, you had your Wreck-It Ralphs and your Cars and wait, Cars is
Pixar.
Pixar. So you had your Wreck-It Ralph.
What's Inside Out?
Inside Out was Pixar as well, okay. Actually. You had, what was it? Because you had a bunch that were, okay, Lilo and Stitch wasn't a fairy tale. For a while, they were kind of stepping away from the fairy tales, and now they've kind of come back to it. Mm. So I kind of do like that. I do enjoy that.
I don't know, by the way, when you're describing the movie, two movies, I think it's like a merge of two movies, Mulan and Moana.
Yeah, almost. It's gonna be like something Moana was like a, I don't know, Moana was recycled. I mean, you know, it was like Pocahontas and you know,
and The Rock played the role
Lion
of the
King, and you know, it was just a mix of everything. So, and this is, again, this is original IP, so I don't know where it goes. What was your second story?
My second story was talking about recently on the internet, a show called Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled.
Yeah, fans saving shows. Yep. Right.
So the show got canceled, and within, I guess, 24, 48 hours, what happened is that fans got really angry and mad online, including celebrities like Mark Hamill,
so on,
and they voiced their opinion. And the show was picked up by another network.
NBC, I think.
I think so.
NBC picked it up. Yeah, because it was on Fox and now it's moved to NBC.
Exactly. And so it goes to show you sometimes how fan base can make or break a show, save it sometimes.
I mean, The Expanse, this just happened with The Expanse as well, because The Expanse was being canceled on Sci-Fi and Amazon picked it up because of the uproar of the fans, because again, you know.
Just out of curiosity, why was it canceled?
The Expanse?
The Expanse or Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Probably a rating.
Ratings were down, But I mean,
it had a fan base.
It has a fan base, a very loyal fan base. But as comparatively to other shows, it's not doing as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to me, it's one of the funniest shows out there.
I've seen a bunch of episodes, and I think it's pretty funny.
It cracks me up.
It's pretty funny.
But imagine you've seen Serenity by Josh Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
You mean Firefly?
No.
Serenity is the movie. Firefly is the show.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was based on the show. Unfortunately, when they canceled the show, I don't think the internet was such a huge thing. And I don't think fans were able to come in and save the show. But they somehow made it into a movie, which is a really fun movie.
Yeah.
But it's really important that a franchise or a TV show has such an important...
Non-toxic fan base.
Yes, because we saw what happened... With The Last Jedi, I know we're talking about Star Wars right now, but yeah, in Last Jedi, it was, I think, one of the most
divisive movies. Yeah,
exactly. I personally adored
it. I loved it. I saw it five times in the movie theater. I kept trying to hate it, but it just wouldn't work.
I couldn't hate it. I mean,
I think this is the first time I've ever gone to a movie more than once going, I really want to hate this movie.
I want to understand why they hate it so much.
You know, like, yeah.
So basically that was a very interesting topic, which
I like seeing a positive fan bases, and I think we'll tackle this more often because it's a much larger topic you know, we'll need more time to kind of hash it out. Real quick, Hattie, why don't you remind us what's currently in the movie theater, playing in the movie theater right now before I tell everybody what's upcoming next week?
All right. So I'm not going to list all the movies. There are so many of them, but ones worth mentioning are Solo, a Star Wars story, and also a divisive movie.
Also been divisive.
Yep. Wildlings, Show Dogs, Accident, La Ch'tite Famille, which is very
cute. Hilarious. I liked it.
Loved it. A Wrinkle in Time, The Merc with the Mouth, Deadpool 2,
yep.
And finally, Avengers Infinity War.
Right. And they are also, they're playing across all movie theaters and including 4DX and IMAX. Yeah. So if you want that awesome experience, so go to 4DX or IMAX.
Check them out, screeners.
Yep. Absolutely. So as far as what's upcoming next week, not a big summer blockbuster season just yet, but we've got The Little Witch, the much awaited Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which I cannot wait to see next week. We'll probably go together and see it. We've got 211 and the 4K digital restoration of The Message is also being played again. So we'll be giving away tickets for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom for the 4DX or IMAX experience. Make sure you check us out on social media, which we're going to give you now, at Alan Mahana and
had.solo.
At had.solo. Don't forget to check out miko.digital.
Yes. Yeah, don't forget to
Don't forget to do that. As we're running quickly on time, we're going to be out of here. We're going to jump into hyperspace.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. Join us again next week. We'll be a little more organized next week. Take care. And I am Groot.
I know.
I don't know.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. I like that one. Yeah. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Alan.
And I am Han Solo.
And together we can rule the galaxy.
That might take too much time. Let's talk about films and TV instead.
That makes sense. Join us every Saturday at 4 p.m. for brand new episodes of Script to Screen, only on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM.
We'll be discussing all the latest news from the film and TV industry.
And we'll also enchant you with some of the greatest songs and soundtracks out there. Script to Screen, only on Radio Lebanon 96.2 FM, made to be heard.